Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and today is Wednesday, October 28th. Make sure you look for us online, and this broadcast will be housed there at businessradiox.com to hear more information. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Business Radio X. This episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you in part by Radio in My Booth, bringing the radio to you and your event, conference, trade show, and etc. So for more information on that, go to radioinmybooth.com. So we have two informative and exciting guests here in the studio joining me today. Let's introduce first to my radio left, Carlos Hidalgo. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And you have a new book that's out. Is that right?
I do. It released October 20th.
So fresh on the shelves for the listeners.
That's correct. Yep.
Good. And it's called Driving Demand, Transforming B2B Marketing to Meet the Needs of the Modern Buyer. And we're talking about your book, but you also are with Annuitus, right?
Correct. I'm the founder and the CEO of Annuitus.
And what do you do for folks over there?
We're a demand generation and change management firm. So we really help B2B companies align their B2B strategies around their buyers.
Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that in more detail here in just a moment. But let's also introduce our other studio guest here today. Representing Choose ATL is Gianna Carmi, and she is communications manager for Choose ATL.
That's right. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And how long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the Metro Atlanta Chamber for a little over 2 years, but with Choose ATL since May.
Okay. Very nice. And also joining here in the studio is Terry Lynn Simmons with Choose Atlanta, or Choose ATL as you prefer, right?
Correct.
Okay, good. And she is the Senior Manager of Marketing Communications for the Metro Atlanta Chamber and also representing Choose ATL and the Ultimate Job Interview. So let's get into that. Tell us about Choose ATL and how did this all come to fruition?
Well, we're really excited about Choose ATL. It is a regional marketing campaign. And I guess we kind of like to think of it beyond a campaign. We really see it as a movement to tell Atlanta's story. And so we're working with partners from around the region to really talk about all the great things that Atlanta has to offer. And the ultimate goal is really for us to attract and retain top talent to the region. We started working on this campaign a little over a year ago, where we went out and we did some ethnographic research. And what we wanted to find out from that research really is, what do Atlantans believe about Atlanta? Mm-hmm. And through the research, what we found is that Atlantans believe that this is a place where people can make their mark. People can come here. They can impact, you know, the community in a positive way. So we leveraged that to roll out the Choose ATL campaign, which launched in May of this year. And what we have as a part of that campaign is a robust digital hub. And as a part of our goal for trying to attract and retain top talent, we wanted to drive them to a place where they can make connections with people like them. They can make connections with opportunities. So ChooseATL.com is where they can go and really have an engaging experience.
So this is designed for folks who are outside the Metro Atlanta area, and they may be thinking about relocating for professional reasons or personal reasons to Atlanta, and they come across your website, and they can get a real big picture of everything Atlanta has to offer. Is that correct?
Well, that's part of it. It's really about not only attracting talent from outside of the region, but it's about retaining the talent that's here. We have 66 colleges and universities here with over 275,000 students enrolled. So we definitely want to keep that talent that's here. You know, the Georgia Techs, the Emory's,
right.
We want that talent to stay right here. And we have a lot to offer. We have an abundance of jobs here. We have a high quality of life here that's unmatched by other metro regions. So we are really focused on telling Atlanta's story through Choose ATL so that people understand all the things that we have to offer here.
I see. So for those college students as well who may be thinking about going into the professional career and want them to stay here in Atlanta, because mm-hmm. Atlanta has so much to offer and has really become, in my opinion, a destination city for a lot of different reasons. And we certainly want to retain that talent. So ChooseATL.com is the website. You can also go to Twitter and follow them there, ChooseATL, and use the hashtag ChooseATL. But you know, what is it about Atlanta that separates us from the other cities that would want to attract other people here or keep those college students in town?
Well, I think when we talk about Atlanta, we have a lot of hidden gems that people don't know about. We have the highest tree canopy in the nation.
I did not know that.
Right. That's something that people don't know about. We have a lot of walkability in our community. We were voted number 8, the most walkable community. I mean, people don't know that. But when you think about the different trails that we have, you know, the Beltline, the Silver Comet, I mean, all around the region, we have, you know, things that offer a great quality of life. And beyond that, we have amazing companies. We have 18 Fortune 500s here, you know. Add another, what is that? We have 27 total Fortune 1000s here. So we have a lot to offer. So you can come here. You can build your career here. You can have a great quality of life here. And you can make an impact here. So, you know, we know that millennials, you know, that's the largest group right now. Mm-hmm. So that's the talent pool at this point. We know that they want to do things that they can, you know, that gives them an opportunity to make a positive impact on their community. And you can do that here in Atlanta. I mean, we have, you know, not great nonprofits here, and we just have a lot of opportunity that I think is unmatched by other metro areas.
I think the key word there that you said is opportunity. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised here in Atlanta, moved away many times, but always came back because this is where the opportunity was for me. And truly see Atlanta growing year after year into an international destination city. People are coming from all over the world to be here and part of this community in Atlanta. And it just makes me feel good, like I said, as a native Atlantan. So let's bring Gianna into the conversation here. We were talking about the ultimate job interview, which is part of Choose ATL. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah. So playing off the whole how Atlanta is the destination to build your life, build your career, start a family. We wanted to create a contest that kind of engages millennials, engages people outside the region and inside the region. And so we came up with the ultimate job interview contest. So we encourage college students, recent graduates, and anyone looking for a job, really, to enter this contest. And to enter, you have to submit a 90-second video telling how you're going to make your mark in Atlanta. And then from there, we will be accepting submissions until November 2nd. So Hurry on and get those in. And then well, from there, public voting starts on November 3rd. And so participants will put on their social media feeds, try and get their friends involved. And it will be a big public voting segment. And then PGI is sponsoring virtual interviews with the semifinalists. And where participants will give 5-minute pitch sessions to a panel of judges. And with three, from there, we'll get three finalists. So
three finalists.
Yes.
And then are three winners? Or how would you choose among those three? Who?
Yes. So we have three winners. And basically, we're going to bring them to Atlanta. Even if you're in Atlanta, better yet. Mm-hmm. And then the three prizes are $2,500, $5,000, and $10,000, which is a grand prize. Yeah,
that's
a lot
great.
Of money.
Yeah, that's all. And you can add to that list appearance on Business Radio X and Atlanta Business Radio Show. We would love to have some of those winners and participants come in and share their story. Mainly, you know, what spurred them to be involved in this? And then what was it like going through the process? And then, of course, winning that
Absolutely.
Ultimate job interview contest.
Well, and these three finalists will have the opportunity to pitch themselves in front of Atlanta's top executives. So it really is a win-win situation. They win money. Mm-hmm. We have great prizes included. Dinner with local influencers at a great restaurant in Atlanta, a helicopter ride over the city.
Wow.
So it
I
really
want to do that myself.
Exactly. So it really is a win-win for everyone.
It does sound good. And certainly people should go to the website, Choose ATL, and sign up. And mm-hmm. Or what if you don't want to enter the contest, but you want to maybe participate and help out and be part of the decision process?
Well, the way to be a part of the decision process is participate in the public voting.
Okay.
So once we have the all the videos submitted, we will then open it up for public voting. And that will be on the site. And people can go. They can look at all the videos that have been submitted. And then they can vote and help someone get the ultimate job interview.
Okay. And then I understand that the final event will be a 2-day experience for them. So going in front of the panels, mm-hmm. What else will be happening over those 2 days?
Like I said, we will have a special dinner with local influencers just to kind of give them background on Atlanta, kind of give them advice going into the interviews, what to do, what not to do. And then again, the helicopter, but it will be overall a great Atlanta experience. It will show these people that Atlanta is the place you can be, and it's the place you should choose to start your life and build your career, because again, it's about making your mark in Atlanta. Atlanta is that city where you can come and make your mark. So, we're really excited about
it. No, I'm excited to hear about it, and I think this will be great. This is the first year, so hopefully this will be a big success, and you can do it every year, again, to highlight those talent people out there who want to make Atlanta their home and their professional career path. So that's a great thing to happen. Anything else that Choose ATL is doing you'd like our listeners to know about?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to support Choose ATL. You know, tell us why you love Atlanta. So one way to do that is certainly when you are out having a wonderful experience in our great city, in this, you know, we think of it as our 29 county region.
Yes.
So not just Atlanta City proper.
Not inside the 285, right?
Right. The 29 county region. So when you're out at a great festival, great restaurant, doing something with your family at a great park, mm-hmm. whatever that may be, use the Choose ATL hashtag and just share that. That's something simple that you can do to share, to tell, help tell Atlanta's story.
No, I think that's great. And not just this few weeks while this event is coming to a close here, or the ultimate job interview, but all year long. Mm-hmm. If you're at a ball game or a restaurant or a festival, use that hashtag Choose ATL, and this can be something that trends, week after week, month after month, year after year for folks here in the Atlanta area, both for visitors and locals like myself alike. So I think that's great. So back to some of the companies that are involved with this campaign. Can you mention any of those? You said there was a few Fortune 500 companies, or anybody who you're really particularly excited about to have involved with this?
Well, we're excited about all the companies that have supported Choose ATL and that sponsored the contest. So, for instance, for the ultimate job interview, we have the Home Depot as a sponsor.
Wow.
We have Cardlytics. We have Spanx. We have General Assembly. And, of course, Gianna mentioned PGI.
Mm-hmm.
So we have great support. We have more sponsors coming on board. So we're looking forward to this being a very exciting opportunity for three people looking to boost their career search. And they'll get a custom experience in Atlanta. So when they come for those 2 days, if they are a sports enthusiast, we're going to make sure that they have, a opportunity to explore Atlanta's sports scene.
Yes.
So we're providing custom experiences. So we just encourage anyone interested in experiencing Atlanta to come and participate, first to load their video.
Yes.
So load their video so that they can participate in the ultimate job interview contest.
And it doesn't have to be a college student. Say I'm a seasoned, career-minded person living in Seattle and I'm ready to move. I can submit a video too, right?
Absolutely.
That's great.
If you are looking to boost your career, you can certainly submit your 90-second video, and then you can encourage all your friends to vote for it during the public voting, and hopefully you will win an opportunity to come to Atlanta, and it'll be a Shark Tank style.
Okay.
The finale event will be Shark Tank style, so they'll get to pitch themselves in front of these top executives, and an audience mm-hmm. included. But, worst case scenario, they walk away with a cash prize. Best case scenario, they walk away with a cash prize and a job.
That's awesome. And get creative with those videos. I think that will really help you shine above the others, and how creative or, exciting you can make that video, because you have 90 seconds. And in a video, if 10 seconds into it, if I'm not interested, I'll sometimes push stop or pause. But if it's interesting and funny or different and unique, I'm hooked and I'll watch it. So I certainly do encourage those listeners to think about getting very creative with their videos that they want to submit. So, any other information about Choose ATL? How the website, Twitter handle, Facebook, all that? You guys are out there?
Yes, and I would just say for the ultimate job interview contest, go to chooseatl.com/ultimate job and go ahead and get those videos submitted.
Yeah, and you have till November 2nd to submit, so just another 10 days or so. Yes. So make sure you get that. Do you have any number on how many videos have been submitted already?
We have quite a few. I don't know the exact number. I haven't checked, but
okay.
We certainly have quite a few, and we would love to have a few more.
Yeah, there's
the
room
more,
for
the
more.
Merrier.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Very good. And the public voting will take place starting November 3rd. Yes. How long will that last?
The public voting lasts until December the 2nd.
Okay, so you mm-hmm. have a month mm-hmm. to go through, so it gives you plenty of time to watch all the videos, and you can find those videos on your website. Okay, very good. So make sure you go and check out their website for all that information. It's really good that they're doing this to help promote Atlanta and bring more eyes on this city and attract more talent to this town, as we weren't already growing fast enough and big enough. You know, everywhere I go, I tell people from Atlanta, and you know, you see them light up. You see them, well, really, Atlanta, I love Atlanta. And I do too. So, so thank you so much, Terry Lynn Simmons and Gianna Carmi, for joining us here today, here on Atlanta Business Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, great. And so please stick around as we do now turn our attention back to Carlos Hidalgo. He is CEO and principal founder of Annuitas and also the author of a new book, Driving Demand, Transforming B2B Marketing to Meet the Needs of the Modern Buyer, which just was released this month.
That's correct. Yep, just last week.
How long did it take you to write this book?
You know, I had it in my head for a number of years and had a good friend, actually Joe Paluzzi from Content Marketing Institute, who wrote the foreword, told me about 3 years ago. He said, you have it in your head, put it down on paper. So the proposal actually took longer than the book itself. I think from once I started writing the book to submitting the final manuscript took just over 4 months.
4 months. So what was the writing process for you like? Would you just lock yourself in the room, you know, with a timer and then sit down and write? Or do you kind of just do it when you're inspired?
You know, trying to build a business with some business partners, and I'll attest to the fact that Atlanta is a great place to build a business. We've got about 25 people as part of our company. So trying to lead that and write a book is not something that I necessarily recommend. Yeah. The writing process was kind of sporadic. I would... sometimes I'd write late at night. I'm very fortunate, or unfortunate, I guess how you look at it, to be able to operate on little sleep. Yeah. So sometimes the writing process would be from midnight till about 4 a.m. Sometimes it would be on airplanes. Sometimes it would be in a hotel room. It just really was when I could get some spots to try to grab a couple of hours to write a couple chapters.
Yeah, we've interviewed quite a number of authors here in the studio, and the writing process is different for just about mm-hmm. everyone.
Right.
Just a few weeks ago, we had a lady in here who wrote a book, and she said she went to the beach, and she wasn't leaving until the book was done. So I don't think I could get any work done if I was at the beach.
I definitely would
right.
not. Exactly.
But she said she spent 2 weeks down there, locked in her room, looking out at the beach, writing daily, and then she spent another week at the beach just relaxing, but had the whole book done in about 2 weeks, she said. So
that's impressive.
It's always interesting to me to see how do you adopt, especially if you've never written a book before. You know, that can be overwhelming and kind of daunting to think, okay, where do I start?
It was overwhelming in many respects. I was fortunate to have a lot of good people around me who had done this before and would just constantly kind of give you the, hey, it's going to be okay type of speech. So it was something that I've always wanted to do. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do it. And but yeah, it can be there are days when it feels completely overwhelming.
Well, good. So I encourage listeners, they can find it on Amazon, or where
yes.
can they find this book?
Yep, they can find it on Amazon. They can also find it on Barnes & Noble.
Good. Driving Demand by Carlos Hidalgo. Make sure you look for it there. Now let's get into talking about Annuitas and how you're mm-hmm. serving the community out there. How long have that organization been around?
We just turned 10 years old in August.
Very nice. And you founded the company 10 years ago, and now you said you have 25 employees?
We do. We have most of our folks are here in Atlanta. We've got some scattered in other different states, but we've got our offices are right there in Buckhead.
All right. And so demand, you know, for the lead generation is very important for some of these businesses out there, you know. And so what do you do at Annuitas to make that or simplify that process for folks?
Yeah, and I think I wish we could simplify it. I think as buyers have so much information, I mean, all the information we want is in the palm of our hands via our smartphones. I can get access to as much information about products, services, support from any organization. I can even go to LinkedIn and find who my sales rep is going to be without ever necessarily engaging with a company. So what we do is we really help organizations figure out that complex, sophisticated, modern buyer that they're encountering. And then you add the complexity of consensus buying, where most purchases are done in a buying committee. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand all the different stakeholders that are part of that buying committee. So we help them understand that. Then we help them align their people, process, content, technology, and data to that buyer and their purchase path.
I see. And so how long does that process take when you go in and look at the company? It could be any industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit down with some folks within the company and kind of come up with a plan for them and how they can better utilize some of these marketing strategies.
Yeah. And what we do is we typically work with larger mid-market, larger enterprise companies. And so part of what we do is we do a strategy phase where that takes about 7 to 9 weeks. And we just don't sit down with them because it takes a very insular view to the buyer. It's the vendor view. We want to take a buyer-centric view. So we actually go out and interview their buyers, interview prospects. Then we do a lot of secondary research into the market to figure out what is the motivation and what's pushing the buyer into a buying process. So we do all that work for them, and that's about 7 to 9 weeks. And then we have to implement that strategy, which is much longer because we're oftentimes creating quite a bit of content for our clients.
Right. And we're talking about informative, you know, the demand generation strategy, you know, and what, you know, what data should you have to kind of lead that information strategy?
I think you've got to understand how your buyer buys. I think you have to understand who's involved in the buying process. What are their content consumption patterns and preferences? What is their motivation? What are their pain points? What are their challenges? What's happening in their space? Is there legislation? If you think about healthcare, what did Obamacare do to the healthcare buyer? Radically changed how these people are buying. Right. There was more people involved in the process. So we work with a lot of healthcare clients, and they're saying the Affordable Healthcare Act totally changed how our buyers are buying from us. So the information you need is really the information about your buyer.
Right. And like you said, buyer-centric, that same term is now being applied to the Affordable Health Care Act, where they're saying we need patient-centric
right.
type healthcare, where you're looking at it from that side of the fence as the patient or the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really confusing, especially if you're not doing this on a daily rhythm like yourself, you know, if for someone who's in-house trying to understand their own buyer. So you can look at it from a third party, come in there, tell them what their buyers are thinking, how they're buying, and put a plan together for them to market to those buyers easier or more effectively?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we want to do is first help them engage their buyers with top of mind issues. Leaders in their market define how to address the problems. So what we try to do is develop that content to say, help your buyer both qualify and sometimes quantify their problem. And then as they start to build trust in that vendor, we want to nurture that relationship via content. And then lastly, we have a conversion stage where you're enabling and educating sales to have continuity of conversation, because most of the content conversation is going to happen digitally. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you've got to talk to a person, unless it's an e-commerce play. But you talk to that person, there's nothing worse than saying, I've just engaged with all your content and your marketing program. Now I'm talking to your sales rep and it feels like a completely different conversation. So we help bridge that gap as well.
And we're speaking with Carlos Hidalgo. He's with the company Annuitas, also the author of a new book, Driving Demand, Transforming B2B Marketing to Meet the Needs of the Modern Buyer. Is there a particular industry that you like to help businesses in or to help satisfy those buyers?
You know, we work with clients in all industries. I mentioned healthcare. We do heavy industrial and manufacturing. We've done a lot of work in the financial services sector. We've done a lot of work in the technology sector. We've got clients all over the country. We've got a good staple here in the Atlanta area as well. So it's really not confined to one specific industry. It's more just B2B mm-hmm. across multiple industries.
Well, that's very interesting because you are in different industries, but do you find a common theme amongst the buyers? You mentioned in the beginning that they're very educated these days. Everybody comes to purchase and they already have all their, they've done their research and their information in hand. Do you find the similarities that cross over in the industries?
You do start to look at different titles or different roles. So for instance, if you take CIO or even a CFO, regardless of the industry, what keeps a CFO awake at night, mm-hmm. it's about 80 to 85% of the same thing across the industries. There's about a 15% nuance that's specific to their vertical. This is why you have CFO conferences and CIO conferences that all these individuals attend, and they talk about the same problems. So you do start to see some trends. However, what you start to see is within that 15%, it can be vastly different for how they interact, and especially about where it gets down to what's happening in their space that's pushing them into that purchase process.
Very interesting. Let's talk about marketing automation. You know, so when you come in there and put a strategy together for the company, and then they come up with marketing automation, how does that help them succeed in their ultimate goal to satisfy more buyers?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of organizations are starting there and they're not succeeding. If you look at our study, we're actually going to be releasing our second annual B2B enterprise study coming out here this week. And if you look at this year, if you look at last year, as well as other studies that have been done, they're saying only about 25% of people who own or organizations that own marketing automation have been highly successful. So we really look at marketing automation as an enabler of the strategy. It's not the strategy itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it enables the ability to deliver content in a real-time, behavior-based approach, but you have to have that defined strategy set up beforehand.
And we talked a lot so far about the things you should do. Do you have any advice for our listeners on mistakes that you see commonly or things you should not do when it comes to your lead generation?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, number one is starting with the technology. Most of our clients that we work with have had marketing automation for 2 to 3 years and have just not been as successful as they thought they would be. I also think I see more companies that are creating content for content's sake. And they have these big budgets, they have all this content, but it's not relevant. I met with one last week when I was in Boston, and she said, we have more content than we know what to do with. The problem is it's all about us. It's about our product, our company, our brand. She said, nothing is focused on the buyer. And so when you look at Content Marketing Institute's study that said only 30% of organizations say they're effective with content marketing versus the rise in spend, something is not congruent there. And so we've got to change that.
All right. And so any trends you see coming towards in 2016 in this demand generation that we should anticipate?
You know, we're in Q4, so everybody brings out their crystal ball. In doing a lot of the research for the book, one thing that I found, which was a little depressing to me, is the same trends, the same problems, the same challenges that we're talking about 10 years ago are still the same challenges and issues that marketers are having today, as unfortunate as it is. So I would love to say that the trend is going to be, we're going to be more buyer-centric. We're going to develop more relevant content. We're going to really understand the nuances and develop our strategies around buyer insights and customer insights. I hope that's the trend. I'm not proclaiming that's the trend, because we've been trying to fight this for 10 years, and time again, you see organizations saying, hey, we're only marginally successful.
Now, how would you rate yourself as a buyer, a consumer buyer? Do you find yourself very informed? I'm using some of your own strategies to go out there and say you're buying a new refrigerator or something. I mean, how does this all work for you?
I use the example of the car I just bought. My neighbor was the fleet manager for the dealer that I bought the car from.
Okay.
And rather than just show up at the lot, I asked him some information. I went online, Edmunds.com. I looked at all the different reports, all the different studies, all from the comfort of my couch in my living room, and finally said, okay, this is the car I'm going to go with. Not because my neighbor could get me a great deal. It's because it was a really, really good car. And so I do that with every purchase. You know, I love the outdoors. I do a lot of backpacking, a lot of biking, a lot of running, even running shoes. I go out and I look and say, all right, what are some of the best running shoes out there? I do my research. So, you know, there's a phrase out there that one of another author, Jay Baer, coined when he talked about restaurants. He said, if you eat at a bad restaurant, it's not that you are misinformed, it's just you're lazy. Because now we have Yelp and we have everything we need from our iPhones.
You didn't Google it before you went
exactly
out.
Right.
And
exactly right.
That's your fault for eating at a bad restaurant.
Right. And so we all do this as buyers. We do it in our consumer lives. There's no reason to think that just because we're now in a B2B office setting, we're not going to do the same thing.
Absolutely true. And I am in the market for a new refrigerator. So I have been doing some research online, been browsing different stores.
Right.
Not because I'm looking for the cheapest one. I just want the best value and the, you know, the one that I want. And but I'm not just going to go out and take the salesman's word for it or whatever's on sale this week, you know, Halloween sales or whatever. So there is a lot of research, whether it's a pair of shoes, a refrigerator, or a car. And that same kind of strategy applies to the B2B spaces.
Absolutely. It does. Absolutely. And I would say even more so, because there's so much more risk involved when you're there as part of a buying committee. You're kind of putting your neck on the line saying, we're going to make this big purchase. You better get it right.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, you know, when you're in a B2B space, it's not just one person and their opinion about a particular product or service. Like you said, it's a whole committee of folks. And oftentimes that is a hurdle in itself to get over.
It absolutely is. And that's where organizations are also struggling from a content perspective, is if you have a director of IT, a director of finance, a director of sales, and then a procurement individual, all as part of a buying committee, each one of those people is looking at it differently. And CEB has done some great research on buying committees and shown those buying committees usually fall apart in the first 37% of the purchase process. So you have to develop content that speaks to the individual persona, but also speaks to the committee at large.
Well, you certainly are an innovative and thought leader, and you know, have taken your years of experience and put it in this book. I think people could gain a lot of information from reading this book. Also, reach out to you at your website, Annuitas, if people need help with your services, you know, and their marketing strategy or generating demand for their products or services. So,
yep, annuitist.com, and then we also have the pretty active blog, so you just annuitist.com/blog.
Okay, are you on social media at all?
I am, at C.A. Hidalgo, H-I-D-A-L-G-O.
Good.
Is my Twitter handle.
Right, and if you're on LinkedIn, people can find you there
yes.
as well. So Carlos Hidalgo, thank you so much for joining us today. It's
thank
been
you.
A pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to reading your book over the weekend and learning more how I can take some of these ideas and transfer them here to our Business Radio X platform. I'm sure we'll make some connections there. But before we get out, let's go back and revisit our friends from Choose ATL, Terry Lynn and Gianna. So remind our listeners again how they can find out more information about Choose ATL or the Ultimate Job Experience.
Sure. To find out more about Choose ATL, they can go to ChooseATL.com. They can also check us out on Instagram at Choose ATL, on Twitter at Choose ATL, and we're also on Facebook. If they're interested in the Ultimate Job Interview Contest, they can go to chooseatl.com/ultimate job.
Very good. And so when you're not promoting Atlanta and you're not out there working hard to get new talent here, what do you like to do here in Atlanta in your off time? What are some of your favorite pastimes?
I enjoy attending the festivals that are here. I mean, we have great festivals. You know, we recently had Music Midtown.
Yep.
I mean, we have, you know, great things like the Taste of Atlanta.
Yeah, I was at Atlanta Eats just recently up at Verizon Wireless. That was great.
Yes. So I just did the American Cancer Society Walk this past Saturday.
Oh,
so there's just everything to
do. So you're
here.
Actively out there doing fun things, eating at all the cool spots. You're going to shows and festivals and everything. So you're out there in the community doing everything you're encouraging others to do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you heard it here first from Terry Lynn Simmons. You can find her at the next festival or the next fun run. She's out there actively involved in all that. And you, Gianna, what do you like to do in your off time here around Atlanta when you're not working with Choose ATL?
Yeah, so of course I love Beltline, going to all the different restaurants in Atlanta. But in the summers, you can find me on Lake Lanier. And that's one of the best things about living in Atlanta is the yeah. lake is just couple minutes away.
Yeah, we have great outdoor space, whether it's the lakes or the mountains, or if you want to get out to the countryside for just a little peace and quiet, we have that here, just an hour or so drive in any direction from Atlanta. So thank you so much, ladies, for joining us, and please, listeners, go to chooseatl.com for more information, or follow them on Twitter at chooseatl. And back to Carlos one more time. Let's remind our listeners, you know, how to find you and your book.
Yeah, you can visit us at annuitist.com. You can find the book Driving Demand at amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. And you can follow me on Twitter at C.A. Hidalgo. And actually, the book has a Twitter handle at Driving Demand.
Oh, the book has its own Twitter.
Absolutely.
How many followers does the book have already?
You know, we just got a notification that we've hit 900
nice.
In a couple of weeks.
That
so
is
we're doing
awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the book sounds like it's doing good. And so, and when you're not running a successful company or writing a nice book, what do you like to do when you're off time? You mentioned you like to backpack or outdoor space. Any trips coming up? Or
you know, I love the outdoors. I've recently gotten into trying my hand at a few triathlons. So I did a sprint triathlon my first time, or first sprint about 4 weeks ago. I just ran my first half marathon 2 weeks ago. Mm. So I like to stay pretty active, and anything I can do outdoors, anything I can find to do outdoors, I'll make sure I do.
Yeah, I think you and I have a lot of the similar interest. You can find me running a 5K or out camping or hiking in with my dog on the weekends. Love Atlanta, and there's always something going on along those lines.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for taking the time out here today. To everyone for joining us in the studio, I remind our listeners, you can go to businessradiox.com to find this broadcast as well as all of our other past shows. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Business Radio X, and you can use the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. So if your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page on the website at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor for making all this happen. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.